The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
On the line now is a man who was arrested this week in London after defying a London-wide police ban on Extinction Rebellion protests. Guardian columnist, author and environmental activist George Monbiot. And good evening to you, George. I called you Monbiot a little earlier on, but I'm a pleb, so you'll have to forgive me that. Just to start, George, what actually happened to you on Wednesday at around 3:30?
Well, I was sitting in the road at the top of Whitehall, right
back. You were sitting in the road. Why were you sitting in the road?
Well, as part of the Extinction Rebellion protests, okay. Whose purpose is, to the greatest extent possible, to draw attention to this massive predicament we face, which is the collapse of our life support systems.
Okay, just for, and I'm not being facetious, or I'm not trying to make any points here. I'm just, can you describe how big was the road and what sort of level of blockage and disruption were you causing?
So Whitehall is this very famous road in Westminster where a lot of the ministries are, or mm-hmm. traditionally were. And it leads from Trafalgar Square down to Parliament Square. So it's symbolically very important, but not actually all that important as a traffic artery.
As a thoroughfare. So there wouldn't be huge amounts of traffic on it, would there?
Not huge, no.
Okay.
No. I mean, there's too much traffic throughout London, but, you know, it's not like sitting in a motorway or something like that.
Okay, so there you are, Wednesday afternoon, 3:30, making your protest in the middle of the road. Now, you were doing this in defiance of a police ban, yes?
Yes. So the whole of Extinction Rebellion has been banned by the police throughout the autumn across the entirety of London, using this very illiberal measure called Section 14 of the Public Order Act 1986. And this act says that the police are entitled to just ban a protest when they wish to.
Do they not have to give reasons?
No, they just said all assemblies by Extinction Rebellion will be prohibited.
But do you not have a constitutional right to protest? Is that not guaranteed to you as a British citizen?
Well, I think we do. I think we do. I think the Human Rights Act guarantees that. Certainly, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights appears to guarantee it. So even before I took part in that protest, I'm one of the claimants in a judicial review before the High Court to test that police power, which seems to be inordinate and against the spirit of democracy.
Okay, well, the Human Rights Act and what's going to happen to it after you leave the EU is another days. Maybe we'll talk about that at a later stage. Because I think that, there's many things that are in jeopardy over Brexit and Britain leaving the EU, but I think the Human Rights Act could be right very close to the top of the list. Right, okay. You're making a protest. We all know why you're doing it. And I actually think that all of us in our heart of hearts think, absolutely, it needs to be done. We've poisoned the planet. What in the name of God have we handed on to our kids, etc., etc., etc.? But, you know, self-interest rules in these things, and people have to get on with their lives. They have to get to work, etc., etc., etc. When they're discommoded and discombobulated, they can react very badly. Are you worried that commuters are going to start getting annoyed at you? Like, for example, what happened with the tube? Yeah, this week.
Well, what happened with the tube was, I mean, it was just completely the wrong target, and the people who did that protest should just not have done it.
Would you? I'm glad to hear you say that, right? Because you would be seen as a guru of this this movement. The minute I saw it, I woke up, I saw it in the news in the morning, and I thought, bad move, lads. Really, really, really bad move. These are the very people that you need to be supporting you, not to antagonise.
Well, so did almost everyone involved in Extinction Rebellion. And in fact, Extinction Rebellion did a survey beforehand because there was a lot of controversy about this, and found that 72% of people in the network were completely against it. Only 4% were in favour, and then only if they didn't stop the trains. So it was really done completely in defiance of the wishes of everybody else.
But they did it in your name, though, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And it is, I mean, in the name of Extinction Rebellion, and it is a decentralised movement. So anyone who adheres to the principles of the movement can call themselves Extinction Rebellion. Now, in my view, they weren't actually adhering to the principles of the movement. It wasn't a very it wasn't it didn't exactly fit the definition of how we see a non-violent direct action happening.
Well, it turned violent, no, not obviously at the hands of the people who were, you know, purported to be representing Extinction Rebellion, but that kind of action could have got somebody very seriously hurt or possibly even killed.
Well, that's true. That's true. And it really, I mean, you know, the violence was meted out by commuters who attacked one of the men who were standing on the train. And obviously, you know, that violence was completely unjustified and it was horrible. But, you know, it wasn't a situation that anyone should have created. I'm not in any way justifying the violence. It's totally okay. You know, off the scale wrong.
Is this not part of your problem, though? Extinction Rebellion is a movement. It's a great big amorphous thing. But there, you know, it needs direction. It needs organisation. It needs form. It needs, you know, una voce, una duce, etc., etc.
It doesn't.
Well, I mean that in the best possible sense of those words. You know, one brain or one set of brains directing it, and therefore being more effective as a result of that. I mean, you're allowing yourself, because of the way you form or the way you're going about your business, you allow yourself to be hijacked by people who do really, really stupid things and who are kind of almost on the lunatic fringe in some ways.
Well, to be honest, it's been running for a year now, and this is the first time there's ever been a problem like that. And it's just people just really not listening to what others were saying. And I think it's been very sobering, actually, for people to see what happens when a small number of people do go off-piste. And so I suspect that it's unlikely to become a problem again. It does seem like a one-off. That's happened, and you know, and there is a lot of soul searching. You know, how did this happen in our name? What can be done to stop this happening in future? But I suspect the sort of shock of it all has probably made it pretty likely that it won't happen
again.
Well,
I certainly hope so. But unfortunately, my experience of human nature is that idiots don't always learn from these things. and you know, it will take something awful before somebody goes, OK, this has gone too far. But then, of course, it has gone too far. Let's come back to your situation.
I think we've had that awful thing. I think that awful thing has happened.
OK.
And I think that is a sobering moment. And I think hopefully it's not going to happen again.
OK, right. But it's back to Wednesday afternoon, 3:30 p.m. You're sitting in the middle of the road in defiance of the law. The police come along and do they ask you to move or they just go, right, George, enough's enough. You know, you've broken the law. Right. You're Nick.
Yeah, no, they asked me to move and I said, well, thanks for the warning, but I'm quite comfortable here. And so after a while, they picked me up, took me to the pavement, stood there for about an hour waiting for the police vans to come. Honestly, state of public transport in this country. And then they took me off.
Sorry, go on. Right, I shouldn't
right
laugh.
Right across London to Lewisham, because the cells were so full of all the people who were being arrested that they had to take me miles and miles, and you know, we sort of sitting in the back of this van for ages, and then finally got taken to this place right on the edge of London, got booked in, had a few hours in the cells, and then to my surprise, because I was really resigned to spending the night in the cells, this friendly face suddenly sort of popped around the cell door and said, right, we're off. And I said, off where are we going? And he said, you've been released. I said, what? I said, I haven't even been charged yet. He said, no, you've been released under investigation, which is basically, we're getting you out as quickly as we can because we need the cells.
Or is it because they know who you are and it's going to be written about in The Guardian very shortly?
No, it happened to all of us. It was the same. I think.
Okay.
Was in the cell.
Why do you feel that it was a mistake for the police to arrest you?
Well,
it wasn't a mistake for you and for your cause, because you're getting endless amounts of coverage and publicity out of it.
Yeah. No, I think the police had to arrest me. You know, I think that was their duty. But what was a mistake was to impose this Section 14 order, which, you know, has brought together not just people who care about the living world and about our future and our survival, but also people who care about
the Human Rights Act. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it really sort of assembled a very broad coalition.
So do you think they made a strategic mistake in that regard?
I really think they have, and it'll be even more so if we manage to beat them in the High Court over this issue and demonstrate that actually it does contravene our basic rights.
OK, George, just very quickly, what has been the general reaction from the public at large to you and your fellow protesters all week?
You know, it's been very positive. I mean, obviously, there have been people saying you're standing in our way, you're causing disruption. And we are, you know, we recognise that, and it is disruptive for people. And, you know, we try to explain it. We hand out leaflets saying, look, we're sorry for the disruption, but what we're trying to do is to prevent a much greater disruption, the biggest disruption humanity's ever faced, which is climate breakdown. And, you know, so sorry, and now we're making it a bit more difficult to go about your daily life. We're trying to not to make it too difficult, which is why, you know, you shouldn't do things like that tube action. But please try to understand. And most people do understand. Obviously, in the billionaire press, there's been all sorts of bloviating about how we're the worst thing since Darth Vader, but you know, you can kind of ignore that because, you know, it's owned by billionaires. That's, you know, they don't want to save the planet. They just want to save their short-term investments.
Okay, well, George, you know the way big business gets to us parents, they get to us through our children. I suspect that may be Extinction Rebellion's best way to the seat of power as well, to do it through the kids. Pester power. It works at Christmas. Listen, all the very best, and we shall follow your adventures with interest, both on screen, on radio, and of course, in your Guardian column. That's George Monbiot. Thank you.